Okay, this hour we'll take your phone calls with Craig S. Martin, the demonologist. Maybe he can help you. Maybe you've got a story for us on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast, Craig S. Martin with us. Your phone calls as they line up to talk with you, the demonologist as well. How many demonologists are out there, Craig?
There are probably several that are calling themselves demonologists, but there are only five that are recognized. Well, there were five that were recognized. When I retired, the full five were still there. Now there's only three left.
That's it?
That's it. The ones that act both as demonologists well enough to know what is actually going on and be able to battle them. There's only three of us worldwide that I know of now.
I know you don't like to talk about your current religion, but are most of them Catholic?
Yes, most of them are Catholic. In some form, there's one Roman Catholic, but most of them are Jesuits.
All right, let's go to some of the calls for you. They are lining up. We go to east of the Rockies, Victor in Como, Texas. Hey, Victor, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Yeah, I appreciate the time.
Sure.
I really have the reassurance in the God Almighty and because my mom was in a rest home for quite a while. Actually, it was 8 months. She'd broken her hip and had dementia. And I went in there, and she was going downhill pretty fast. And I asked her, I said, Mom, have you ever asked for forgiveness of any of your sins? And she looked at me and just laughed in a very demonic, I mean, it didn't even look like her. So I backed up, and I thought, well, it looks like I've got something to do. Well, it was about 4 days before she passed away, and I went in, and I had a bottle of olive oil, and I asked God to bless the olive oil in the name of Jesus Christ, and I asked Jesus Christ to help me and him get the spirit out of her, the evil spirits. Any evil spirits, leave her and leave her now and go back to where you came from. And I touched her on the forehead with that olive oil, and it looked like I stuck a coal on her head. I mean, her face just grimaced. And then all of a sudden, the most beautiful smile came back.
You just about exorcised her.
I did. I'm sure of it.
Craig, can that be done like that?
Well, I really hate to tell people the truth of certain things, but a lot of times they will cause things that you think are happening to not be happening. They're very good at tricking people. They want you to believe what they want you to believe. When an exorcism is done by someone who is not qualified or doesn't really know the spirit that they're dealing with,
right,
it will pretend, it will make things happen, it will affect people to make you believe what you want to believe.
Put a false smile on her face?
Pardon me?
Put a false smile on her face?
Even a false smile, even a grimace, whatever they want to have happen, they could do if a person is weak enough to be manipulated like that, to get that feeling, to feel that thing that they want them to feel like. Maybe in asking that, they made the person feel like it was worth laughing at. A grimace, they could cause pain to the person that is unknown to the person trying to help and make them wince, a grimace. And once that thing decides if it's going to leave or not, let's say it decides to leave the mother alone in this case, then the person who received that favor is now going to owe that particular mother and human spirit something in the future. They will collect in some way.
Let's go to Kathy now, first-time caller, Tucson, Arizona. Hello, Kathy. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hi. Yes, thanks.
Sure.
I've been listening to you for years.
Well, thank you.
I had an experience back in 1993. I was 23 years old in Louisville, Kentucky. And I didn't have any reason to feel so demonically depressed kind of feeling, but I had what they say was chronic severe dysthymic depression. I was diagnosed, but what I felt, and I don't know how to explain this, but what I felt when it got to its absolute peak worst was I thought something is trying to, and it sounds crazy, but I really felt something was trying to cause me to kill myself.
Oh boy.
I couldn't control it. It scared the heck out of me. I couldn't breathe. I felt suffocated. I felt like something was really, and the feeling was in my middle of my chest. And it was like something, I mean, it could have been psychological, but it really felt, I felt when it got to its peak part, I really felt like there was something demonic trying to, it was like a demise. Something was trying to get me. It didn't want me to live.
Well, you're probably right about that. Do they actually, Craig, want people to die?
They want to actually cause the death. They want it to be something that they've done to the person. It's just some kind of joy they get from it. They're not really nice at all. There's nothing good you could say about them. This one in particular, unless it is uncontrolled, and really the most people who are possessed aren't aware of the time that they are possessed. If you're aware of the entire incident, everything that's happened to you, it's probably an oppressive or a bully type, malevolent human spirit. Their idea for it is more like just for fun. They like to torment. They like to make your life a living hell, basically. They will do everything they can to make you sad until you finally, in a weakened state, they'll make you decide to do things that are just not in your best interest. They'll cause you to waste all your mortgage money, to gamble, to use drugs, to do anything they can to get you to convince yourself to do harm to yourself.
When this incredible universe was formed a long, long time ago, why in the heck did they create demons too?
Well, that was a split in the spirit realm of two different factions, Spirit Helper faction, that was all for helping people learn on the earth as spirit helpers possess a human body at birth. They come out and they begin to learn how to live with sharing, cooperation. They learn about wars, everything that we have here on earth, because here on earth is just a mimic of what there is for us in the hereafter. There are wars, there are factions fighting, there are different levels of society. There's the rich, the medium, and the poor. I mean, it's all the way through, good and bad, have these things. So basically, when we're humans here, we're trying to learn how to deal with all that so that we can go back and go on to our next life experience. We may not be staying in the spirit realm. We may have another life experience to go.
Would you say that some of the accounts in the Bible then are pretty accurate?
Some of them are, yes. Some of them don't tell us quite enough about it. They talk about the three levels of heaven, being the glory of the sun, one being the glory of the moon, and the last and lowest being the glory of the stars. And then there's several levels to each one of those levels. I don't know the name of them for a fact, but I don't know where they would be mentioned anywhere in any book. But I'm told that there are more than, I'm told by the Spirit Helpers that there are more than one level to each level, that this thing can go on and on. Like there's leaders. It's like set up like a republic. There's one person in charge, and there's a bunch of senators underneath them, and then, you know, it keeps going down the echelon to the lowest guy on the lowest level of the of heaven.
Let's go to Michelle, Marionette, Wisconsin. Hi, Michelle. Thanks for calling.
Hi, George.
Hi.
Hi, Craig. I was wondering if Craig could tell me what the protocol for exorcism is, because I think your guest was on, I think it was Saturday night, and he told a story about a 98-pound female that it took five guys to physically hold her down. And I was really upset by that story because I thought he didn't have enough authority to go in and determine that she was possessed in the first place. And then he said she got a little nasty with us. Well, maybe she was I took it that she was a teenager with an attitude, and I thought that she was spiritually raped, actually, for the experience she went through. And I was just hoping that Craig would tell me that that's not what normally occurs in an exorcism, is that five people hold down a...
Well, I don't know. Craig, how many people sometimes do you need in an exorcism?
Well, I never go into one by myself. This last time I didn't have any assistants with me other than my wife. I didn't want to put her in danger, so I made her stay outside in another room. She was there just to grab my body and pull it out of the room, basically, if anything happened. But, again, because, well, if I was had all the faith I needed in there, that I wouldn't even have to worry about that. So I went in a little shaky for my first time back in action.
You know the movie The Exorcist, of course. And
yeah, I remember that movie. I love that movie.
Little boy in Baltimore, it was the real case. They ended up doing the exorcism in St. Louis in an old hospital I knew of. And apparently when years later, you know, they shut that closet wing down, they were petrified of it.
Yes.
They sold off a lot of the furniture, Craig, and people who bought it reportedly talked about having, you know, strange things happen to them, possessions. It must have been one horrible scene when they did that exorcism.
It probably was. If you're not, if you don't hold the proper priesthood, then you're bound to fail. It's more like, in most cases, in the past, it's been more like you have a bunch of people come in and just harass the entity until it finally says, okay, fine, you win, and it leaves. But when it does so, it also lets them know later on in life that they owe it for leaving. If you have a proper priesthood, there's never an owing. You never owe them anything, and they really dislike you for it.
Let's go to Dayton, Ohio. It's Chad's turn on Coast to Coast. Hello, Chad. Go ahead.
How you doing? It's an honor to be on the show.
Thank you.
All right. When I was younger, I used to have a demon that would come to me, and it would possess me and try and get me to do just more or less unspeakable things. It would tell me to hurt people. It would try and come at me sexually. I was frustrated for a long time. I couldn't talk to anybody because I was real young.
Did you ever hurt anybody based on what it wanted you to do?
No, I never did. You know, it would try and get me to hurt animals. You know, I had pets.
And how did you fight it off?
It was hard because, you know, it tried to be my friend, you know.
It tricks you.
Yeah, and it got me into a false sense of friendship, and it started to do things, and I started, you know, things would come up missing inside of the house, and they would end up in my room, and I got, you know, I couldn't explain it.
Huh.
That's actually kind of typical for their behavior. You'll find that things always go missing. Even when I used to work at a store in Los Angeles, during the peak of my investigation time, they would take stuff that I would need. I'd look for the money deposit for the bank that morning, and it'd be missing from where I had it 2 minutes before. And I'd find it over in the paper tray on the copier or something. Doors would be unlocked during closed hours, and I'd have to race all the way back to the store to relock the doors. One time I went back and the door was wide open. Now, nobody had been in there. I checked cameras and everything else. Nothing had ever been in there. And there's no kind of static on the tapes or anything. The door just opened and stayed there. And I showed my managers and stuff that, and they just laughed it off and thought it was the wind, which we didn't have any that night, but that was what they came up with. Another suggestion was earthquake. After all, it's L.A., but there was nothing like that either. I lived in downtown Hollywood, just off of Hollywood and Vine.
Oh, yeah. No,
and there wasn't a shake or a sound or anything.
It's just amazing. It boggles my mind, Craig, how this deals with people. Is there a single force behind it? You know, we have the godlike force. Are we talking about the devil-like force that's making these demons do what they do?
Well, there is a echelon to their societies. I have yet to know of any particular leader or its name. They don't give out their name unless they're forced to do so. And spirit helpers never, ever give out their name. So it's really hard to get any inhuman spirit to say anything personally about them. The spirit helper, the malevolent inhuman spirits are very secretive. They do everything behind your back, everything that they want to do behind your back, like the hiding of things, telling you to do things, kind of whispering in your left ear. It's usually a voice that'll make you think kindly of it. For men, it's usually a female voice. For women, it's usually a male voice. It's very soft. It's very kind. And if you talk back to it, you've automatically, if you say anything to it, it automatically is an invitation for it to stay in your life and do whatever it wants at that point on.
It's like opening up a virus in a computer. Once you do, it takes over.
That's right. That's exactly what it's like.
Let's go next to Jim in Quartzsite, Arizona. See if we can get you in before the break. Jim, go ahead.
Hi. Hi, George.
Hi,
Greg. I'll keep this, try and keep this short because it's kind of controversial out here. I was going down a road out here, and it was a fella that had a massive brain hemorrhage, and I tried to work on him and save him. I couldn't.
Okay.
And then later the fire people came up, but the whole thing was weird and it wasn't right. I had blood all over me. I went down the road, and I was, tell you the truth, living on the desert at the time. I was homeless.
Mm-hmm.
Washed myself up the best I could. Later that night when it got dark, I heard people talking, calling them to coast to coast before, talking about demons and trees and shit. And that's the weirdest shit on the...
Gotta let you go. Language, can't do that. Can't do that at all. That happens sometimes. Craig, don't worry. Didn't get on the air at all. Craig, with demons attacking people every place, I mean, my gosh, even this guy, the homeless guy, I mean, what do you do when you're weakened? Do you have any defense?
Well, to start with, your best defense, believe it or not, is to give it no recognition, to ignore it completely. Once it starts, I mean, if you're rapping on the walls or doors open and close, simply go over it, close the door, and ignore the rapping. If you give it any attention, it will think you're interested in its continued visits. And eventually, you're going to slip up and give it an invitation to stay simply by saying something like, well, what do you want? What are you doing here? And that's all it needs. That's an invitation to stay.
All right, we're going to come back and take some final calls in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And next hour, we'll start open lines here. I thought I'd do that tonight on a Monday, so we will do that. It's almost a full moon. And when we come back with Craig Martin, we'll take some final phone calls here on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back. Craig S. Martin with us, the demonologist. We'll get your calls too. Craig, how important is it in your dream state that dealing with spirits?
Well, most dreams are that you remember. So the dreams you have no memory of, you wake up and you just really don't have a clear remembrance of anything.
Right.
Those are dreams that never matter. They mean nothing. The ones that you remember for hours or even days, years later, they all are a message that will tell you basically what you need to do or what's going to happen in the future. And they're all from most dreams that are something positive, that aren't frightening or scary, dark in colors and stuff like that. The ones that are brighter in colors and you feel better about but remember them, those are messages from the spirit helper messengers. Or some of them, if they involve ancestor or friend visiting you, those are usually actual visits from that friend or family member. Anything dark in color, creepy, makes you afraid, those are malevolent inhuman spirits affecting your dreams, and still those will have a message about what's going to happen in the future.
When you come back from retirement, how do you let people know you're ready to go?
Well, I closed my website about a year after I retired because I kept getting calls and I kept getting flown across the United States. And every time I go to one of these things, the negative energy basically eats your body. These things are made up of negative energy, and they feed off of any other energy they can come up to. That's how they weaken people. That's why when you're around them, you'll suddenly feel cold, or the area around you will suddenly become very cold because it sucked all the energy out of that area. And that's why if it's cold, you see people, and even in movies, their rooms will get icy cold, and you'll see fog or breath vapors because it's become that cold. They eat energy, and that's what they feed off of. But they prefer to take it out of human bodies and weaken them that way. And again, their goal is to weaken and kill a person.
That's what they want. They. Why do they want them dead as opposed to take that soul?
Well, taking the soul isn't what their goal is. Their goal is that they need to infest a body. They need to get into a body, possess that body for a short amount of time and live within it, and then get out of it as soon as the body dies. So oftentimes they're in a hurry to get out. They just want to get in there and get out. They don't want to have to do all the work of actually living and existing in that body, unless they enjoy torture, which a lot of them do. So they'll torment the body and make it die slowly. The ideal way is to make the person convince that their only way out is to end their lives themselves. That way that person gets a punishment for it. Their soul goes to the lowest level of the kingdoms, and the other thing goes with them, basically, because they basically cheated their way in. They did the absolute minimum they needed to do to get into the good neighborhoods.
All right, let's go back to the calls. Travis in Louisville, Kentucky. Hi, Travis. Thank you, sir. Go ahead.
How you doing, George?
Good. Everything's fine.
I just had a short story to tell Craig. About a year ago, it'll be a year in June, my father passed. Before he did, I was laying in a bed, and I woke up, and I had cold sweats. My body was covered in sweat. It felt like something was sitting on my chest. And ever since that night, several nights later, I kept having visions, I guess, or hallucinations of shadow figures. And they would run around my vehicle, and I couldn't sleep. I couldn't eat. I became an alcoholic. I became really self-destructive. My wife was getting ready to leave me. My brother took a mental inquest warrant out on me. I got put in a mental institution. And then I spent about a week in there. I got out, and I haven't experienced anything since.
Did they come up with a diagnosis when you're in the institution?
No, they could not come up. And the strangest thing is they could not come up with a diagnosis. They did CAT scans. Could not come up with anything. And the weirdest thing about it was, is everybody that was institutionalized there with me that particular night was experiencing similar events.
Wow, that's interesting. I remember you said at the very beginning that you felt something basically feeling like it was laying on you.
Right, like sitting on my chest. It was a shadow figure. It was holding me down in the bed. I couldn't move. And I got up.
Were you able to see it?
Excuse me?
Were you able to see it, any kind of real features on it, or was it just kind of a blob?
It was just kind of a blob. And then I started seeing that same thing for about a couple weeks later. And like I said, I started drinking a bunch. And these things told me they was going to kill my father. And I told my family and everybody that my father was going to die. And then he had a heart attack and he died.
Yeah, that's usually something used to, again, weaken the target, which sounds like you might have been. Sometimes their introduction into your life is to actually come visit you. They always appear darker than the darkness around you, and it's easiest to see them out the corner of your eyes, looking straight on it's almost like a blind spot. You can't see him, but if you see him out the corner of your eye, that's usually the way you see him. These things don't really have any pressure points when they sit on you or they make an attack. They just show the pressure of it, like it's someone, like you said, sitting on you. And also sometimes when they do that, you'll have a little trouble breathing and your arms won't be able to move, your legs won't be able to move, and you won't be able to say a word no matter how hard you try. And that's usually an introduction phase just to get the fear going, because they eat off of your negative energies. Anybody who's in depression, who's abusing drugs or alcohol, anybody who has a lot of problems like that, they target them because they seem to be the easiest and weakest people around. So they will target a person for that reason, just because of the negative energies out there.
How do you strengthen yourself, Craig?
Usually I tell people to change your lifestyle. I mean, just ignoring them by itself is not going to do it. They will come back time and time again if you're doing the same things that attracted it in the first place. So if you change your lifestyle, you do things that make you happy, listening to happier music with less aggressive lyrics, watching comedies on television. That's my favorite thing to do. I watch comedies a lot because they make you feel good. Doing anything that does not include a crutch, like I used to overeat. That was part of my compensation. I got up to 300 some odd pounds, but now I'm down below 220. And that was just since August. I've lost all this weight. It's not the way I want to lose it, because I called it the death diet, because basically I wasn't doing so well. But getting the weight down and eating right, watching comedies, just doing things that make you feel good is a really great way to make it you so unattractive to these things, they'll never want to visit.
We've got John in Ontario, Canada, international line. Hey, John, go ahead, sir.
Good evening. How are you people?
We are fine, John. I hope you are, too.
Well, as I explained to your call screener, I don't know what it is, but I've tried to kill myself more times than I can count.
Oh, jeez.
And
John.
I don't know why. I've had good jobs, made unbelievable money, you know, I've had a good life.
Obviously, you're not happy with something. What is it?
Well, I don't know what it is, but I'll hear this lady with a really lovely voice, and every time I hear it, the whole mood in me changes. I've done everything. I put a rifle in my mouth, brand new, pulled the trigger 3 times, and it didn't fire.
Well, that's
good.
I've
got 365 stitches in my arms. I've been pronounced dead 2 times.
You do this every time you hear her voice?
No. I've been put on some medications, but and the same as the fellow was mentioning about the shadow people, I've learned to see from my peripheral vision better.
Okay.
My house is full of these things. I hear a loud explosion downstairs. I go and here's this giant man walking across the floor. I don't know what it is. I was driving on the highway when the highway limit was 70 here in Canada. I was doing 95. And I was in the inside lane. I heard the lady call me. And I just deliberately smashed into the guardrail where I was pronounced dead. And on 2 occasions, I met Jesus in these. And he just, it was in like in a hurried type of thing where he says, quick, John, you must come with me. You cannot look back, or you have to go back. So just keep your eyes straight ahead. But there was this huge, like a river of fire, like crazy. And like this is all real to me at the time.
John, how old are you?
Right now I'm 61.
61.
It's been going on since I was 15.
Just guess, how many times have you tried to commit suicide?
I've lost count.
10? 20?
Oh, yeah, easy. And it's crazy because nothing seems to kill me.
Well, let me ask you, though. I mean, like, right now, you're in Ontario, Canada. Are you by yourself? Are you calling from a hospital? Where are you?
I have my own home, and...
I've got to ask you this. I mean, if somebody's attempted suicide 20 times, somebody somewhere has got to be able to say he needs some help and help right now.
Well, I was seeing a psychiatrist for a number of years, and then he moved out of the area. The other two that were left were crazier than I was, in a sense.
You don't sound crazy.
It's been a wild ride. And like I say, I was shot once. I shot myself once. But the three times...
Oh, are you saying, though, that during these suicidal tendencies, something else is telling you to do this?
Well, I hear the lady calling me.
What does she say?
John, you know, like beckoning me to follow her. And then the only way to follow her, I know in my mind, is you have to die.
Have you ever seen her?
Yes, I have.
Is she anybody that you know?
It's out of my peripheral vision. She's very beautiful, and she's got a white gown. It's all sparkly.
All right, Craig, step in here for a moment. What's going on?
Well, I was noticing when you said the voices. How do you hear the voice? Is it like an actual human voice? Is it in your head?
Yes,
or is it in one of your ears?
I hear it quite clear. In my left ear. Well, in both ears, actually.
Pardon me?
I hear it in both ears, actually.
Most of the time in both ears?
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of odd for it ever to do. Usually, a malevolent spirit will speak in the left ear.
But I can't say most of the time in the both, because, like, right now I'm sitting in the kitchen. I sit up all night listening to your shows, and I'll hear her calling from behind me, just to my left. John. And the next thing I know, they put me on medication for epilepsy. I took over 250 pills one night. My heart was beating so fast. I stopped breathing. And I realized I'd stopped breathing. And I hadn't taken a breath for over two songs that played on the radio. I had them really, the radio really low because I was scared.
Yeah.
And that's when this the Jesus thing happened, and I walked through the fire, and I was burning, and I mean burning, and there was flakes, as if the bad in me was being burned off. Then all of a sudden, it was so refreshingly cool. I couldn't believe it. I didn't want to leave it. And he says, come, John, we must go. We must go. Hurry, hurry, hurry. And that part bewildered me, you know, because it was more like as if the devil was saying, hurry, hurry, hurry. You know, we got to get you here before he can get you back, you know.
So do you think that this image of Jesus that you saw was actually Jesus? Do you think it was another kind of spirit?
No, I think it was Jesus because he was all dressed in the white robes. The hair, everything. I didn't see his face. He kept his back to me all the time. Mm-hmm. But, and just the way he spoke to me, it was very gently.
Yeah, John, when was the last time you attempted suicide?
I'd say within the last year.
Jeez, John, you gotta stop this, buddy. You can't keep doing this. You're going to succeed
one
day.
But it's the strangest thing. You put a magazine with a bullet in the chamber. You stick it in your mouth. Pull the trigger three times.
No, I'm not going to try that. I mean, you've been lucky.
No, but it ended up, I took all the bullets out of the magazine, just put those three back in. You know, just put them. First one, I aimed it at the corner, right at the baseboard.
Are you?
Bam, it went off.
Are you tempting death?
No.
I mean,
I'll hear the voice, and it's like, this is what I have to do.
Well, you can't do that.
tell that to them, in a sense. And here's the strange thing, tonight phoning you.
Yeah.
I've never had this happen before on the phone. It will say, sorry, your party is not answering. Try again later. But this time it said, sorry, your party is not answering. If you continue to call, your phone will be disconnected. That's the first time that's ever happened to me in my life.
John, I'm going to put you on hold. I'm wondering if you'd share your number with us privately. I just want us to be able to stay in touch with you every once in a while. And, Craig, I'm going to give you an option. I've got every phone line lit. Do you want to stay one more hour? If not, that's okay. I understand.
Sure, I'm willing to stay another hour.
All right, we'll do that. We'll do one more hour, then I'll do an hour of open lines. We've got every line lit, folks, and I don't want to leave you hanging. So we'll be back with you in a moment. Craig, since you've been doing this, I got to believe that it is a feel, if you could call it that, that just seems to be crying out for people like you.
Well, yeah, I think it is. But since you really can't be trained for this, I mean, the Jesuits seem to be training for this secretly, but most people, you have to be trained by the spirit helper. You have to have the spirit realm basically take you under their wing and show you how things really are so that you'll be prepared when you have to go in and maybe face one of these things.
All right, my friend, you stay with us. Craig S. Martin with us. We're going to keep him for one more hour because all your phone lines are lit, and I want to give you an opportunity to ask him a question. And then we'll do our last hour of open lines this almost full moon night on Coast to Coast AM.